diferencia entre vosotros y nosotros es que vosotros no tenéis límite.
Tú y toda tu familia sois un pecado, una enfermedad.
¿Quieres ser como tú? Por mi muerto que no voy a dejar que se parezca a ti.
Okay, photographers, please. Well, we've got the good fortune of presenting the crew and cast of the series Gigantes Giants, which is in the official section in this edition of the San Sebastian Film Festival, and we've got an enormous amount of people with us today. Starting from the end, Domingo Corral, who's the production director of films and series and Movie Star Plus. We've got actors Carlos Liberado, Isaac Ferri, Daniel Grau, the actresses Sofia Oria, Elizabeth Gilabert, Yolanda Torosio, the actor Jose Coronado, excuse me, and the director Enrique Urbizu. I'm not too sure whether you want to ask any questions. Let's take full advantage that we've got everybody here. Hi, I would like to ask Urbizu, how did you create this family saga? And how do you go from a more sort of like a small business which turns into a family of entrepreneurs? I'd like to know, how do they go from being delinquents to legitimizing themselves? And Coronado, talk about that role that you play. You're almost a patriarch of the family. What? Sorry. You were asking Jose. It consists in the black money has to be laundered, so therefore you set up apparently legal business if you've got, as is the case of Tomás Guerrero, who's an absolute vocation, not only of abandoning the world that he comes from, but of constructing a family environment which is respectable, homologated from a social standpoint. He did fine arts, he's an expert in the Renaissance, and he has an art gallery in the relationship between the black money and the art market is always in the press. We have to launder the money, we have to make it respectable, and that's quite natural. And old Abraham wants to keep it under the mattress, but his sons believe business can be done in another way. Absolutely normal. This is done on a day-to-day basis. We see this every day. The question is, yes, how did you construct your character, this patriarch? Well, my character is a very complex character because he sets the path for the three Rottweilers, my sons, that I'm preparing and training. There was something in the character. Talking about Enrique, you know, we've worked before in the past. It could be Santos Trinidad's father. And there's in the previous film, No Rest for the Wicked, it's morality turned into a person. He's continuously attacking everything that moves around him, or even in silence. And he's humiliating, absolutely humiliating his sons, in theory, in order to train them, but he's almost the devil on earth, really, for me. But I'm very pleased to work with my primo, my cousin here, once again, and to have the luxury of participating in this marvelous series, which I think there's going to be a before and an after in Spanish fiction, undoubtedly. Thank you. I'm not too sure whether you could explain how you conceived the project, that is to say, whether it's always been thought of for a TV series. Or how does this work? How did you pitch this? Well, I'll be very succinct. I've worked with Manuel Gancedo as an actor, who's an excellent actor. And we've shared a lot of hours together and talked about projects. And the seed was planted by Manuel. Manuel had an idea. He had the courage of setting it up. A movie star liked it, and that's the idea we stemmed from. To a great extent, we had to be very fine to see what the seed was for the project, for this TV channel, and the development, the width of development that the project didn't have. And that's when it really started to take shape, when Miguel Barros starts to get involved initially to develop Gancedo's work, but to sort of set it into a story with chapters, and these characteristics have been firmly maintained until the end. Its character as a series, or its nature as a series, with which we address the impossible, but it's truthful in each of the series. Yeah, episodes and characters are condemned to continuous movement, a microcosm that's crossing dangerously over the different episodes, and also a sensation of vertigo as well, a feeling of vertigo that after we wrote it with the people that develop it, I think the word is vertigo when we worked with the people at the TV channel, the struggle to not have too clear what the path, yes, the style, exactly what it was, but to see what happens at the end of the next episode. That contagion, really, of how we've developed the series and how the series formally ends up being, it's the key that defines Giants. It's a series with horrible people getting in awe, and they're barbaric in what they do, and there's all types of characters that confront each other. It's a masculine world, and there's a feminine world that starts to take the space confronted to this family of crooks. And it was a true adventure and a very exciting and enjoyable adventure. You can see it. It's a festival when you see it, I think, and when you watch it. Don't you agree? Yes, I do.
From Variety.
Hola. Hello.
My question is about the balance between the local or perhaps more than local, localized, and the universal, in that the series has, I believe, of Movie Star Plus's series, one of the most localized of universes, which is of immense interest for a foreigner such as myself, and I suspect for many Spaniards, the Rastro, the Serrano, etc. At the same time, the sentiments of the characters seem totally universal, in that it seems to develop as a tragedy of filial love, in that both the sons want to be at the level of the father, but the father's level is one of brutal, heartless violence. Si se puede comentar.
The aesthetic treatment of the series, which from the outset, it was quite clear that it was going to exclude realism as an obligation. It's a series. Now, however, having said that, the material with which it's built with, it's drawn from reality. Madrid is probably, the streets of the center of Madrid are probably one of the most important characters in the series. But nevertheless, we don't want to do a docu-pic, and that forms part of the series. When I read the script and talking about the project and working with Jorge Dorado, perhaps because of our age and how we're trained, I felt much closer to the melodramas of the 1950s, vis-a-vis using the tool for staging feelings that are beyond real life. And that linked to how we treated the urban landscape. Manuel Lubeñas in the artistic design was great because we were able to recognize the locations, but the locations are at the service of the tone and the storyline. And so, though humbly, I would like to believe that it acquires a certain legendary tone to it that has to do with what is unreal and fictitious about this family that could be legendary if they had existed for real. So therefore, that treatment addresses all different scenarios. Yesterday morning, we were finishing shooting the second part in Oporto, in Porto, and there was the same thing. Everything is at the service of the emotions. In Porto is much more fun and as a festival because there are action scenes and so on and so forth, but at the service of the tones and the emotions everything has to be linked to the work of the cast and the crew, and you set up a world. If it's done right, it normally would work, and hopefully we transmit this.
If they see at all this as a tragedy of your love, or a tragedia de amor.
Sí, totalmente. O sea.
Yes, completely. As Enrique said, this is, it's Saturn devouring his sons and condemning him to fight. The father is satisfied when his two hungry dogs finally awaken and they try to take over the power of the family business. I think that it was his maximum objective in life, to turn them into hungry dogs. And that's what we do throughout the entire series. There are duels between Tomás and Daniel, two faces of the same coin of this Mephistopheles, who is Abraham Guerrero. Don't you think so, bro? Yes, I think it's a demonstration also of what you deny condemns you. I think there's an attempt of trying to kill the father in all the senses of everyone to get away from what he used to do, but only that only takes them to go to that, straight into that poison that they have in their DNA and their blood. They want to physically even leave, as you will see in the second season. The poison is within them, and it's the same poison that adopts different forms. Yes. Perhaps Carlos can contribute something, because his character is very interesting. He's perhaps the most purest of the entire series. Yes, I'm in the series as well. Hey, by the way, I didn't know whether I was listening. I was going, hey, I'm there too. I'm here as well. Well, I can't contribute more than what my other two brothers says. He's the one clearly tries to get away from the family and separate himself from the family. He's the most honestly doesn't want to form part of that world, and probably it'll probably go. He doesn't undertake that poison that he has. Daniel have, so he's got everything to lose, surrounded by these animals. There was a question back there. Someone left it there. See, someone said raise their hand. Yes. The truth is, the experience of seeing the series is quite powerful, by the way, and it's a journey, to tell you the truth. I've seen the 6 episodes yesterday all the way to the end, with the sunny day, beach day that was yesterday. It's quite meritorious to keep me inside watching the series. I didn't know there was a second season, and I said, well, how are they going to finish this off? Woof, rock and roll, mate. Well, congratulations to all of you. The truth is, a very powerful experience, and also the amount of issues that the series deals with is too much to address. But obviously, I would like to ask Enrique Urbizu whether there's been any type of censorship, because the truth is, you go a long way in certain issues, and I imagine that's the premise. But what has been the way, how did you work? Because in the last few episodes, you didn't direct them, it seems, albeit the film, we notice, it's very yours, that is to say, from what I see. And the project has a lot of fathers, shall we say. But if anyone, well, the actors are formidable, by the way, and congratulations once again. Well, I like your question very much. Well, no, there's not been any type of censorship. What we try to say, we want to absolutely thank movie star Domingo Fran, that the entire crew that developed it, and the development team in movie star, the trust they've confided in us, absolute support that they've given us, and zero intermission. That's despite that we had an agreement upon the material. Until we had an agreement upon the material, it was debated and discussed, as it should be, and nuances and this, that, and the other. At no time was there any type of censorship on the subject matter. And as a director, I would say I am responsible of the cast from top to bottom. That was respected as well. And visits to the editing room was for enjoyment, pure enjoyment. So Well, authorship, well, this is a team project. There's an enormous amount of people. Some of them have not even met, and we've been cooking the same dish, but we haven't even seen each other. So there's no type of problem from that. Authorship, well, I see it as when it's staged, the staging of the film. I respond of 1, 2, 3, and Jorge is the staging of 4, 5, and 6th episode. Both of us worked at the service of something that's much larger than us, which is the material. And in this case, giants with what it, all it contains, everything it contains, which is tangible and intangible, production, which is a style risk, and the talent of all of these people and those that are not here, the crew. And if you want to see the differences, these can only be seen on the staging, shall we say. I trust in the complete unity of the design of the product, and that's very good. And I think we should get used to working like this, because one becomes more humble, and you put yourself at the service of the material. Authorship can be seen whether you like it or not, if you catch what I'm saying. That's what I believe, anyway. That's my opinion. And in that sense, the authorship that you're talking about and staging, I saw a noticeable difference between the first two episodes that you've directed, and also because of the period and how they're structured through ellipses and so on and so forth. But did you approach them in a different way? No, I did the third one, and it continues to be different. The first three episodes are subtly different in structure and so on. If you look at the third one, it has four fading into black. I've only seen the first two, so that's why I've asked the question. Yes, well, you'll enjoy it even more that way. The third one, which is called Confluence, opens up the series outside, externally. It's subtly different. The first one is the most legendary, which is the institution, the Abraham's kingdom, shall we say, and the second is the startup. The adults start to get, there are families, there are adolescents, there are cops, there are journalists, there are judges, magistrates, there are people from CNI who are recording them and recording them every day. And as of there, the series starts to mute. It's like a mutant. It starts to mutate. And so therefore, I think I took a lot of care that it's all united, but the episodes don't always have to be the same. That's another type of series. That would be another type of series. House. Well, for example, a house finds a piece of hair when you see, no, this is a series, and it's all the contrary. See, that's what happened. What's going to happen next? That's the question you've got to ask yourself. Okay, we have another question. Okay, I will try to speak in Spanish. It's a question for the actresses in the series. I'm under the impression, and I did see the 6 episodes, by the way, there is, above all, Yolanda in your character, like a masculinization of her character, especially after the tragedy that she goes through. I won't spoil it for anyone else, those who haven't seen it. And I suspect this is going to happen to a certain extent with your character, Sophia, in the second season, albeit we should not talk about the second season. But it's a question for the actresses, whether they see as one of the expensive consequences of this family the fact that the women have to fight like men in order to protect their own. Yes, I'd like to say the feminine world of this series has a strong character. They're very brave women who they want to do things in a different way over their own values. In my case, my character, she's an accomplice because she sees what's happening, but she has her own moral limits. She doesn't agree, and her greatest concern and her importance is her daughter, which is Sophia, which is Carmen, who plays Carmen in the series. So Carmen is her priority above everything else that she sees as the husband of, as the wife of Tomás. She's a gypsy as well, so there's a lot of things joined there, linked together. But that masculine side, yeah, these are women who have got strong characters and who are very, very brave in this series. There's no woman who's soft or weak. And okay, Sophia, what I believe, I see that these are women, and they are women. What I mean by this is they're not under, they don't want to be like men or to behave like men. It's just that they are women and they are in front of women, and they're going to reaffirm themselves as women. They're not at a different level vis-a-vis the men. That's what I mean. She's a policewoman, and she's going to be the best policewoman because she, precisely because she's a woman. That's what I mean. There's nothing else I wanted to say. Oh, Inspector, I'm not too sure. I think that that masculinity that you're talking about could occupy a certain space. Yeah, that's true. They do occupy space. The bad women, the ones that are involved in the crime world, they want to occupy that space that's always been dedicated to men in that sense, yes. And the vis-a-vis the police, well, we the idea was to stop and investigate them and if necessary, destroy them. If that's masculine, traditionally that was masculine, well, they do want to occupy that space in that position. But I think it's more an issue of leaving us, giving us space to do things in our way. Allow me, the majority of the spaces of the delinquents or the criminals are occupied emotionally as well as professionally, are occupied by people who are women. Juana Costa, who's here, she acts as a director linked to power and the subworld. And the underworld, Ariana is the only real anchor, a normal anchor on Earth for poor Clemente. Senia is one of the characters who most loses, personally speaking, in doing her work. And there are many others. So therefore, and it wasn't intentional, and the material we were given to the script writers, and that's the way we addressed it. Any further questions? I would like to know whether, as regards to Domingo, how do you approve a second season when we haven't seen the first season? Well, because we love it. Yeah. We don't need to have all the data when you've got a series like this and material, as Enrique said, and who told it very well, everything's at the service of the material. When you've got material like this, quite well, you of course you want to do a second season, and we're always thinking about the third season. There you go. What? Thinking, we're only thinking. The second one season, they finished shooting it yesterday, and the third season, we're thinking about it. Not yet, we're thinking about it. Okay, yes, if you've got very, very good material, so we completely confide and trust the series. It's a luxury to have material, directors, a director like Enrique, and these actors, it's a luxury. Yes, of course, the second season will be premiered at the early next year, that is to say, before summer next year, okay? The second season, the second part, shall we say, of this series. Hi. Above all, congratulations for the series. It hit me. I've seen only the first two episodes, I must say. I'm very sorry. I don't have enough time in my life to see them all. A question is a bit more banal. How many hours of training did you do, Nene, to be a boxer and to get it that in shape and look at that six-pack that you show in the film? Any special training that you have to do to be such bastards? I was thinking that it should be Bastards, Sons of Bitches. That should have been the name of this series, but I'm very, very happy to see it. You talked to me about it about a year and a half ago, and the truth is, congratulations, Carlitos. Okay. How many sit-ups did you have to do, like Aznar, or who? I'm like the models. No, I usually drink a lot of water and I eat well. That's what models say. I eat a bit of everything. No. In my case, there were several months with a personal trainer, with a strict diet, that, of course, when I found out there were no many shirts, any more shots without a shirt on, I started to eat anything. But it was tough training. When reading the script, that Clement was like a bull and he was a boxer, and I was afraid that I wouldn't make the grade physically. And perhaps I went over the top. But yes, it was several months of training and diet. Yes, very tough. I want to add that we spent a month and a half working with Carreño, who was the head of the stuntman, that's why all of the fight scenes are so brutal, and that's part of the work of everyone. And we, at the end of the second episode, spent a month and a half memorizing, and then all the fights with the gypsies, it's full of, and that's thanks to Ignacio Carreño as well. Then I've just remembered an anecdote for this tandem. Something happened, and as I was already in the cast, we were looking for the other actor, and just that scene to test that audition, that actor, is when the scene when he spent 10 years in jail in my art gallery. And something quite curious happened, because he and I were in Barcelona 15 years ago, and we didn't get in touch with him. He lives in Barcelona, I live in Madrid. And it was a re-encounter in real time just before. And I looked at Enrique, suspecting that there was some chemistry there. We hadn't seen each other in 15 years, but we studied and we had a past together. So therefore, I think the cosmos got synchronous and things, and the audition worked very well. But did you train or you didn't train? What did you do? Did you do any training? No, I'm a natural. Everything you see is natural. We've got a time for one more question.
Si no se atrevéis, me atrevo yo.
If you don't dare do... Okay. For the actors, how did you prepare to be such bastards? Was it tough to be like that, or end up conveying this? I don't know how to ask the question. I'm not too sure whether I explain myself. What are you playing at? Isaac is the biggest bastard. No, you get rid of all your morals and you focus upon what Enrique wants to draw from this. And when you see it, you realize how far you've gone, because if your scale of values is set up, and you ask yourself, what am I doing as an actor? But Enrique makes it quite clear through two or three brushstrokes where you've got to go and how far, and you jump into deep end of the pool, and then you see later on, you sadistic motherfucker. So basically that's it, listening to the director and jumping into the deep end of the pool, and without judging it, the character. And once again, it's the material. And then I think what helps us very much is this getting away from realism. You start to play and you compose a character, and we do absolute crazy things, and even more so in the second season. That getting away from naturalism but with truthfulness helps you to address all of those actions, but true, but very far away of who you are as a person. Okay, we'll leave it here. A big round of applause for the cast and crew.